Hello everybody, it's George from Unedwell. Thank you for coming back to my channel. Obviously for the very first time, and this is about the right to protest in the United Kingdom. Now, this right's been significantly abridged in the last few years. So in North Britain and South Britain, he thinks in West Britain, I'm not sure about Mid Britain, there have been severe curtailments, so the curtailments of the undoubted right to agitate upon public grievances, which have been recognized for centuries. People are unhappy about something, and so they have a right to say it, and not just say it out loud, but to march along the street, to hold placards, to chant, to play music, to use loudhailers to amplify their voices, to draw attention to it, to raise public awareness about whatever this issue may be, and also to protest at the pertinent location. If it's about the police, outside the police station. If it's about a judicial ruling, outside a courthouse. It's about Parliament, right outside Parliament. If it's about, you know, the royal family, outside a royal palace and so forth. And now I know protests are not allowed in royal parks, one of the few restrictions. Having said that, I have seen protests in royal parks, such as Hyde Park. The Countryside Alliance used to protest there, whether it's at an airport or a prison or a wherever, a school, a university, a hospital. But unfortunately, people have been deprived of their human rights to demonstrate at the relevant place. And that's terrible. So people who are entirely nonviolent have been arrested, tried, convicted of the crime of expressing their opinion at the relevant place, which is a shocking attack on liberty. And Labour is really bad on civil liberty. The Conservatives have been bad on civil liberty. Very sad to see that was taken away. That's supposed to be being tough. No, what's really tough is to stand up for freedom when the bigots and the authoritarians, the control freaks, would try and take it away from us, the establishment, because we question them, because the demonstrations might work, because it might change people's minds, because it might save people. No, we can't possibly have people saving the innocent. We cannot tolerate mercy. Yeah, we cannot bear for people to tell the truth. So that's why they will get the jackbooted police to brutalize you and drag you away while allowing real dangerous criminals to continue their activities unimpeded, unhindered. Wow, it's shocking and revolting. And then Shabana Mahmood, who's the new Home Secretary, wasn't she Lord Chancellor, Secretary for Justice, this Labour barrister, MP, and she wants to abridge these rights even further. And she said, look at the cumulative effect of repeated protests. So the police will be able to think about that, and they will mull over whether these whether they have to impose restrictions. Now, I do agree on some restrictions, often a balancing of rights. People want whatever demonstration. I want to go about my business, to go to work, to go to the supermarket, go to the GP's clinic, to go to the airport or whatever. And so if they're blocking the road, that's a problem for me. So I realize that some people who don't care about the protest, disagree with the protest, they shouldn't be obstructed. That's why I did agree with when you're blocking the road, that's a crime. When you're stopping a train, climbing on top of the train, these climate protesters, I don't care. They got to go to jail. Not on. You're delaying thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people. You can demonstrate beside the road or right outside the railway station, the airport. Fine, I wouldn't stand in your way. But if you're preventing people doing what they need to be doing, no, that's totally unacceptable. We should come down hard on you. So already the police have power. Say you can have your demonstration, but only on a Sunday, or you can have it on whatever, a Tuesday, but only between 11 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon when the traffic's quite low. It won't obstruct people too much. You can have it in this street, not that street, because that's a really important thoroughfare. No, you can't be blocking access to the emergency part of a hospital, things like that. I don't dispute that. The police already have sufficient powers. But what she's doing, saying, oh, there are too many protests, so we're not going to allow them because it's too frequent. Well, because it's building up ahead of steam, because it might work. So a lot of this is regulated by the Public Order Act 1986, the Public Order Act's going back to, I think, 1935. What she wants to do is to amend sections 12 and 14 of the said act to allow the police more scope to restrict these marches through the public areas. So these processions, these gatherings and so on. The police will have additional powers to move the protest to a different place, but they already have powers. I don't understand why they need even more. when has it been such a problem to say how long it can go on? But they already have that to say you can march, but you have to go on a different route and things like that. And it's sometimes to outlaw some protests completely if they're so-called extreme. But all that means is questioning the establishment. If you try to defend the innocent, you're extreme. If you oppose racism, you're extreme. If the racism is against a group that the left doesn't like, you know, if you stand up for the rights of a certain group, that's so-called extreme. But real extremism, violent extremism, which is inflicted by the powerful on the defenseless, that's a-okay. And we're not allowed to call that one out. It's sick. And obviously, hateful propaganda is pumped out by the government all the time, through schools, through the National Health Service, through the police, and elsewhere. And then we have to pay for it. We have to pay for our own oppression. So primary legislation might be passed. Remember, Labour, despite doing very badly in the polls, they still have a huge majority in the House of Commons. They got a pliant House of Lords. Having said that, I'm not aware that they've appointed a great deal more Labour peers, but you may be aware that the upper chamber only has a power to delay legislation by a maximum of a year, assuming that is the House of Commons is willing to pass it thrice within a 12-month, but that means 9 readings. Now, the lower chamber usually compromise the upper chamber because it's too onerous, it's too time-consuming. That will require 9 readings, 3 readings at each of the 3 times you pass the bill, in which case it then becomes law after a lapse of 1 year. Okay, so going on. They're not going to be simply statutory instruments because they think if they pass primary legislation, an actual act of parliament, rather than secondary legislation, whereby a certain cabinet minister is authorised to sign things into law, then it'll be more difficult to challenge it in court because they say that the courts can't strike down legislation in the United Kingdom. Not quite true. It was done once, 1994, the rape marital exception case, when under English law, a man could not be held to rape his spouse, because the idea is that her consent at marriage to intercourse was irrevocable. And if she ever said no, that was vitiated by the fact that they were in matrimony. But then this was changed. And the law lord said, well, it's unthinkable that Parliament will seek to change this back. And indeed, there's been no proposal to do so. But that is the unique case. So, I mean, on the textbook level, we say, no, they can't do that. Secondary legislation is a little bit different because it's not so explicitly passed. So the Secretary of State, for whatever, in this case, the Home Secretary, is empowered to amend legislation by citing this or that. Okay, so Ms. Mahmood is correct that we have to weigh certain rights against other rights, the right to go about your business, the right not to be intimidated, but that's already a crime, and so on. The right not to feel unsafe. Well, I feel unsafe all the time with the violence perpetrated by the government against the weakest members of our society. But it's even if these protests aren't actually criminalized, and some will be, it's nevertheless going to deter people from taking part in them. So this is open-ended, and that's all these words are open to interpretation, disruption, intimidation, really anything that actual violent people like is so-called intimidation or fear. Well, we have a lot to fear from people like Mahmood stripping of us of our rights and so on, and how frequent is too frequent and so forth. So really a police state that we're being led into, it is stealth totalitarianism. It's going to impact certain groups more than others, those who want to save Palestine, those who want to defend children, and so forth. Wow. Obviously the police being enforcers for the leftist ideology, they're going to be on the side of feminazis, no doubt. And so we go on. Okay. So much for the European Convention of Human Rights that Labour really want to defend. No, they don't. They're against our right to life. They're against our right to free expression. Okay, this is unjustified, it's disproportionate, it's unnecessary, and it's totally discriminatory. Well, we shall see how it pans out.